Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, my grandson Pablo Torre and I, we discuss Chad Henne getting it done, the Ravens not getting it done, and Aaron Rodgers making his fifth conference title game. But we begin today with the old aged bowl. Tom Brady, 43, was not particularly sharp, but he was a lot sharper than Drew Brees, 42. The result is that Brady will be in his 14th conference championship game, 14th, and Brees will mull retirement. The Saints committed four turnovers, three of them interceptions. Pablo, is this about what the Bucs did or what Brees and the Saints did not do?
It's about what the Saints did not do, but even more than that, Tony, it's about what they could not do, which allowed the Bucs to then do everything that they did, because the Saints looked like an offense that could beat nobody in man coverage or down the field. It's like playing basketball and the guy you're guarding can't go left. Okay, well, that makes the defense's job a lot easier. So what do the Bucs do? They camp out underneath, and we knew Drew Brees has this weak arm. I didn't know it would be this week, admittedly, when we talked on Friday. I also didn't realize that Michael Thomas, the guy who should be winning these one-on-one matchups all over the field, would be held catchless for the first time in his career after having 149 catches last year. So the turnover battle from all of that ended up being the total opposite of what the Saints did to the Bucs in those first two games they played, where they dominated them, right? Four turnovers for the Saints, yeah. And that to me was the story of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Brees. I looked at him. The arm can't go deep downfield, may not even have enough zip in for intermediate passes. So I understand why he would mull retirement at this point. I think they really missed Taysom Hill, who was not allowed and eligible for that game. The Jameis Winston play worked once, but it's not going to work more than once. I think Taysom Hill really could have helped them along. I got a lot of notes here. I honestly thought, Pablo, that at 17-10, the Saints were going to win that game. I didn't see the Bucs winning the game, but they did. And let me just say this about Brady. I'm not sure we've ever seen an athlete at this age in any sport be this good relative to the other people who are aging in that sport. In the last six games, he now has 16 touchdown passes and only one interception. Over the course of this year, at age 43, he has 44 touchdown passes. I don't know what Bruce Arians said or did recently, or maybe it's what he didn't say because he wasn't rapping Brady publicly. But that team looks like it has coalesced around Brady, and that team looks good. Not great, but looks good.
They look so much better than I thought they would. And every week, Tony, I feel like I meet you and I say, hey, Tom Brady's going to be pressured. Tom Brady's going to fall apart. And every week it seems like he's just cruising along even smoother than the last time. But the Chiefs, Tony.
Let me just say this about the Saints, if I could. Let me interrupt you for a second. And say this about the Saints. They have been so snake bit in the playoffs lately. They have won, I think, 49 games over the last 4 years, have not made it to the playoffs. They got beat on a no call that should have been a call with the Rams. They got beat on the worst defensive play of all time by Minnesota. And they got beat by turnovers in this. Snake bit. Go ahead. Sorry.
So as snake biting goes, I don't know if anybody feels that way more than the Cleveland Browns. And we saw that because the Chiefs made the AFC Championship game, but the Browns had these chances, Tony. Rashard Higgins fumbles on a touchdown dive, results in a touchback. Later, after Pat Mahomes leaves the game with a concussion, the Chiefs backup Chad Henne comes in, scrambles for a near first down, fools almost everybody by taking the snap on fourth and short and getting it. So given Mahomes' injury here, should the Chiefs lean towards being excited about their win or concerned about their future?
Oh, concerned. Obviously concerned. They don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to play. You come from a line of doctors, but I don't know that anybody's looked inside Patrick Mahomes' head in the last 24 hours and knows exactly what's going on. When he went down, I've covered a lot of fights in my life. A guy gets hit flush in the face. He's not yet knocked out. He goes down. He struggles to get up, and then he wobbles and falls down, and the ref comes in right away and says, no, that's it. That's what we were looking at. And you mentioned Chad Henne, and Chad Henne was great on that scramble. And even greater, we are watching that game on the fourth down, and Tony Romo is saying, just stand still. There's not going to be another play. They're not going to snap the ball, and suddenly they snap the ball, and Henny makes the pass, and the game is over because they get a first down. It's a great viewership moment, but I don't think any of us thinks that Chad Henne over the course of a full game will be anywhere near what Patrick Mahomes would be.
Yeah, Mahomes, to your analogy, like, he should have gotten a standing eight count when he was woozy and looking delirious, and it looked like, wait a minute, this is going to be a huge issue. Now, on Twitter, after the game, he said he's all good. Take that for what it's worth. Maybe the NFL gives him the whole easy pass treatment through the protocol because he is the face of the league. It's a conference title game. Maybe that's the case. But keep in mind, Tony, there was another injury in this same game to Pat Mahomes and his foot slash toe that was hampering him, making him limp around before the head trauma, right? So for me, I think the Chiefs must be ecstatic that they survived that game. It's not often that Goliath gets to feel like David, and that's how they felt with Chad Henne going on fourth and inches with Andy Reid. But looking ahead, there are real questions for a team that has played tight games for about 10 or 9 straight games now.
I think they have failed to cover now in 8 of their last 9 games, which matters to people who bet. Can I go back to the Higgins play for a second, please?
Please.
He's 6 inches from the goal line. Okay, the ball is fumbled and it rolls out of bounds. It rolls out of bounds, not at the end of the end zone, but right near him. And the other team, which doesn't recover, gets possession of the ball on the 20. I like the suggestion that the offensive team retains possession in a play like that, but has to go back to the 20. Let us move now to probably the dullest of the 4 games, and that was Buffalo beating Baltimore. The critical play was an interception in the end zone by Buffalo that turned into a 101-yard pick 6 and a 14-point swing. Lamar Jackson left the game with a concussion on the last play of the 3rd quarter. But before that, Pablo, Jackson struggled to do anything. In 4 playoff starts, Jackson's teams have averaged only 13 points. So should we praise the Bills or should we question the Ravens' offense?
I praise the Bills. End of praise. Because I have so many questions now about this Ravens' offense. Tony, I want to ask a couple of things, but the number one question is, hey, Lamar Jackson, how did you feel watching Josh Allen throw to Stephon Diggs like he's his security blanket whenever he needed it? Because this Ravens offense, the number one thing that has become so obvious, especially in this game, is that Lamar needs help. He needs a wide receiver to turn to. I know this team is always going to be imbalanced. They were the number one rushing team in the league, the last place passing team in the league. But the guy needs help, not just because he's throwing 101-yard pick sixes, but because there's a talent deficit when he plays these teams in the postseason this deep.
It's not sustainable. I understand he's a great runner, but look at the coaching of Buffalo, which needs to be praised. They took the run away from Lamar Jackson. He got 3.8 yards per rush. In the regular season, he averages 6.3. You can't be 32nd, dead last in passing. Either he has to become a better passer, as you say, they have to get him something. Because this is not going to work. If the coaching staff at Buffalo can do this, people look at film. You know, they know how to stop Baltimore by stopping Lamar Jackson from running.
And Lamar Jackson, look, we can move past the conversation. Is he a pocket passer? Is he a quarterback? Yes, he is both of those things. The issue, though, is that when there is pressure on him and his mechanics begin to falter and he begins to panic and look around the field, who is he throwing to, right? So there are a couple guys this offseason, Juju Smith-Schuster, Allen Robinson, Kenny Golladay. Maybe those are the answers in this offseason. But it's very clear to me, the Ravens cannot continue as constituted. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing this to themselves every time.
So let's get to Buffalo for a second. Buffalo is a good team. They're not the flashiest team in the world. Allen to Diggs is very good. But they had 10 offensive points. Okay, that's all they had. Baltimore should have won that game. Buffalo averages 31. They got 10 offensive points. That was right out there for Baltimore, and they had nothing offensively.
The Packers, meanwhile, they rolled over the Rams, Tony. The Green Bay offense put up nearly 500 yards against the number one defense in the entire league. Although, in fairness, Aaron Donald was limited with that rib injury. Aaron Rodgers threw for 2 scores. He benefited from a ground game that put up 189 yards rushing. So, Tony, are the Packers the single most impressive team remaining to you?
Yeah, I mean, it looks that way right now, but if you ask me honestly, it depends on the state of Patrick Mahomes' health. If he is 100% and ready to go, I think Kansas City has a little bit more running. I think Kansas City has a little bit more receiving. 484 yards against the number one defense, whether or not Aaron Donald is completely healthy or not, is an enormous number. And Aaron Rodgers is in complete control of the games as we watch him. He is a great, great quarterback. But I think that Kansas City, at best, is a little bit better. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, the Chiefs' ceiling to me is still the highest in the league. That offensive ceiling may be the highest that we've ever seen, to be quite honest. However, to give some historical context for the enormous adjective you used on that Aaron Rodgers-led offense, they haven't put up, correction, nobody ever has put up 484 yards against the number one ranked defense in the postseason since they started tracking these numbers in 1970. So this is unprecedented. And to me, what the Packers are doing over their last eight games, Tony, they're blowing people away, right? They haven't played a game, I believe, in 8 weeks that's been within less than a touchdown. And meanwhile, the Chiefs, as we alluded to earlier, they're scraping by really, really close games, all pretty much less than a touchdown in their last nine games, eight with Mahomes on the field. So to me, I think the Chiefs have been getting away with something, and they might have a reckoning pretty soon.
This is a fair point. I wanted to get to the Rams and something I saw on the crawl early this morning while I was watching TV, that they were going to evaluate all their personnel and make decisions on each individual, including Jared Goff. Look, Jared Goff wasn't their problem, okay? Aaron Rodgers was their problem. I will go back, though, to the game earlier this year in Week 6 when Tampa Bay played Green Bay, and Tampa Bay won 38-10, if I'm not mistaken. Aaron Rodgers had the worst game he's had all year. He was only 16 of 35, 160 yards, two interceptions, four sacks. If you take that away, you know, sort of by magic, if you take that away, Aaron Rodgers right now has 50 touchdown passes and three picks, which is amazing. We're going to take one last break. Coming up, should we elevate our expectations if James Harden and the Nets, if they beat the Bucks tonight?
And is it now likely that the Texans are going to trade Deshaun Watson, Tony?
Okay, so likely is the important word there. Is it likely? You know.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, you got to really think twice, three, four, or five times you're going to trade this guy.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time, where you do the work, but our producers get paid. Let me see what's first in here. All right, Pablo. Will you believe the new Nets will work if they beat the Bucks tonight?
So Kyrie Irving isn't playing tonight, Tony, so that part of the experiment remains absent. But based on what they did on Saturday, when James Harden had a triple-double and Kevin Durant had the quietest 42 points I think I can remember ever someone having, I think that this team is already going to be an NBA Finals contender. Like, I am so in on these Brooklyn Nets. And it's not just because James Harden was on his best behavior, like he was meeting someone's parents for the first time, trying to be very eager defensively and trying to spread the ball around. It's the fact that he's always had that skill and ability. And as long as he is healthy to me and not exhausted by the end of the year, this is a team that will be absolutely in it till the very end.
So I don't want to make any judgments based on a game in January. I mean, I want to see a team in April and May. And I'm not saying you buried the lead because you put it up top, but Kyrie Irving is eventually going to come back. And so whatever happens before Kyrie Irving comes back doesn't really matter. Those three guys are capable of 90 to 100 points every single night. But will they play defense? Will they work together? Will they be selfless in the way that Durant's team in Golden State was selfless and accommodated everything he wanted? Kyrie Irving is the X factor here, and if you don't say that, you're missing the point. While he's not playing, it doesn't matter what we think. Next, do you think it's inevitable that the Texans trade Deshaun Watson?
I do, because Adam Schefter had this report, Tony, over the weekend, and he sort of coalesced this seemingly inevitable reality that he's going to want out of there and he will get his way out of Houston. Apparently, sources within the team have been saying that. And Deshaun Watson, maybe the most important thing that I took away from all of this weekend, Deshaun Watson wants us to think that too. He's posing with Andre Johnson on Instagram, Tony. Andre Johnson, the guy who criticized their football VP of operations, Jack Easterby. He's putting lyrics from Future songs, which I know you're very familiar with, about how he's, yes, angry on a scale of 1 to 10, at a 10 now, he was at a 2 before. He wants out. He has a no-trade clause. I think he'll get out of there if he wants to make a big enough stink about it.
Yeah, inevitable is the hard word for me, because they haven't hired a coach yet. And if they hire a coach that he really likes, why is it then inevitable? If they hire Dabo Swinney, who coached him in college, if they hire Eric Bieniemy, who he said he likes very much, then I don't actually think that it is inevitable. I know that there was apparently going to be a protest in Houston today. And Deshaun Watson said, don't do that on my account. Well, it is on his account, but he said, don't do that. Apparently, he would go to Miami if he wanted to, maybe trade him even up for Tua. But it's the inevitability part that is difficult for me. If he gets the coach he wants, he will probably stay, I think, but it'd be an enormous blockbuster if he left. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Chargers hire a new coach.
While Tennessee fires one, so what will the Volunteers do now?
Okay, so it's Tennessee Volunteers. It's not the Titans. Like, Vrabel's safe, I assume.
That's right.
I mean, Vrabel's pretty good. They're not firing that guy. Okay,
Vrabel has already said he's going to cut off.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 60th birthday, Mark Messier. Wayne Gretzky is the great one, right? Well, Messier has 4 Stanley Cups in Edmonton with Gretzky, then one more there without him, and then the famous one with the Rangers that he guaranteed they would win, and he delivered. And that's the Rangers' only cup in the last 80 years. Messier was a 15-time All-Star. There are a few athletes who can walk the streets of New York City and be greeted warmly and thanked for what they did. With the passing of Tom Seaver, there is Joe Namath, Willis Reed, Derek Jeter, and Mark Messier.
You're so right, Tony, about the beloved nature of Messier. My parents woke me up for Game 7 in 94. They don't care about hockey at all. They woke me up and said, watch this guy, and yeah, that was Mark Messier.
Good for your parents. In 94, what were you, 3 years old? Happy anniversary, right, Lynn Swann. On this day 45 years ago, the Steelers Hall of Fame receiver was named Super Bowl MVP after making 4 catches for 161 yards and a touchdown. 2 of Swann's catches are fantastic. One was a 53-yard levitating leap that made the cover of Sports Illustrated. The other was down the sideline between 2 Cowboys that was nicknamed the Kangaroo Catch. But Swann's personal favorite, and the one that often gets overlooked, is the 61-yard touchdown that Swann described as, quote, the best catch I have ever made in professional football.
Tony, I just saw a glimpse of each of those catches. Far be it for me to tell an artist which piece of art should be his favorite, But the levitating leap and the kangaroo thing, those are way better than the thing he loves the most, it turns out.
Go figure. Happy trails to the Chargers head coach opening. It will be filled by 38-year-old Brandon Staley, who was just the Rams' defensive coordinator and coordinated them into the NFL's number one defense. Staley has never been a head coach anywhere. He was an assistant at small college John Carroll in Ohio, the famed cradle of coaches, before entering the NFL as a position coach with the Bears in 2017. Then he followed Vic Fangio from Chicago to Denver, and then he joined the Rams. Staley will inherit Justin Herbert on offense and Joey Bosa and Derwin James on defense. And he joins an expanding group of NFL head coaches under 40, including Sean McVay, Joe Judge, Kevin Stefanski, Zach Taylor, Brian Flores, and the new Atlanta coach, Arthur Smith.
Smart people seem to like this guy, Tony. They seem to like Staley, so I respect that opinion. But somewhere out there, Eric Bieniemy is just waiting and waiting and waiting in a league that does not have nearly enough black coaches and thinking to himself, that guy's 38, he just got his shot. How about me? What else do I need to do in this world to get a shot at a head coaching opportunity?
This is exactly what I'm thinking, that you are wasting your time being on television when you're right in the sweet spot to go be an NFL head coach. And apparently you don't have to be a head coach anywhere else to do it. So I think you should dump this and go seek your fame and fortune in the NFL. We're running out of show. We're going to go to the big finish. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has announced that he's entering the NFL draft. Pablo, is that a good call for Fields?
Yes, he was taking painkiller injections for the grand price of $0.00. Go get paid. The Yankees, meanwhile, agreed to a one-year, $11 million deal with former Cy Young winner Corey Kluber. Is that significant, Tony?
It's 1 year. Kyle Schwarber got 1 year. Free agents aren't getting long years. DJ LeMahieu did, but he was already Yankee property. Trevor Bauer's sitting there. Tennessee fired Jeremy Pruitt. Does that make sense to you?
Apparently, giant penalties are coming from the NCAA, so that makes sense. Phil Fulmer, the AD, is retiring, so that makes sense, too. Peyton Manning may play a role. That's weird to me, but Gonzaga beat St. Mary's to move to 14-0. Tony, you impressed?
Sure. They're number one team in the country. Sure. Last one, number 6, Kansas, at number 2, Baylor tonight. Who you got, Pablo?
I've been to Waco. I will take Baylor. I have never been to Lawrence. Apologies to the Jayhawks.
Oh, I've been to Lawrence. It's really nice. I've never been to Waco. We're out of time. Try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching. And please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. And now, your SportsCenter.